there's still some time for shiur today. Okay, so let's go through this discussion, the Zichron Yosef and Ramesha discussion. Fascinating discussion on the society. So Bischi Chumsev Karnav quotes this Zichron Yosef, where he discusses the shayla of a Taba'as HaRechem. Anyone know what the Metzius is? Anyone look into this? Taba'as HaRechem? Matan, no? Taba'as HaRechem, what is it? What are they doing? What are they trying to accomplish with this Taba'as HaRechem? Some sort of birth control. That they can, but they're going to leave there until childbirth? Why is it staying during pregnancy? Yeah, okay. So they had something. They were putting something in there. So he discusses this child of chatzitza with the Taba'as HaRechem, which was placed in the Rechem for some sort of health reason or whatever, and was removed only for childbirth. So he's mekel because it's so rarely removed that it would be dangerous to remove it more frequently. Right? That's what Chasam Sofer writes in that tshuva also, that it would be a sakana if you tried to remove it all the time, so you never do it. So it's difficult to understand in light of the right. That, you know, right, so as long as a woman is ever makrid, then it's chatzitza. So if she has to take it out for childbirth, isn't that called that she's sometimes makrid? And therefore, shouldn't it be a chatzitza? How can the Zichron Yosef say it's not a chatzitza? So Rav Moshe, in a tshuva to his brother, as we pointed out yesterday, Yardeich El Kalb Simin Sadi Zayin, Rav Moshe writes, Ach yesh l'chalik, k'de mechalik bal Zichron Yosef, shuv b'zichron tshuva sukan nalaf. He says, I think we could be mechalik like the Zichron Yosef. The makpedes rakles man meruba lo havia ata kpeda, ayin sham. When Zichron Yosef, he summarized, Zichron Yosef says that if it's only lizman meruba, then it's not called akpada, it's not called that she's makpid. If she were only be makpid lizman meruba, once in a blue moon, then it's not called being makpid. Now Rav Moshe says chiddush. Upashud sheim kavanos lechalik ben zman meruba kugal meshach shana ben zman mur kugal meshach chodesh upakol. He says, you know, when he says Zman Meruba would not be Hakpada, he doesn't mean Zman Meruba. Those are the words he uses. That's not what he means. It's not about how long. That, if you leave it there for a year without ever worrying about it, then you're not Makbid. But if you leave it there for only a month without worrying about it, then you are Makbid. He says, that's not what it means. Diminole litin kitzva b'shir l'davrzeh. Then where do you find a shir for that? And how long you have to leave it there before it annoys you for it to become Makbid? Right, he said, we don't find such a thing. Makshav Gemara Lomit seems that we don't find a Gemara like that. El Tzarech Lomer the Kavanos of the Chalek Ben Hikpida LaHasir B'Shas Lisha Ben Hikpida LaHasir B'Shas Lisha She'en Lazez Man Kotzuv De'efshor She'izdamin LaBekol Yom V'Gam B'Layla L'Chein Nechshav B'Chol Eis She'him Hikpedes De'in Yichol Levatlo Al Meshach Zman. He says, on the one hand, you have a type of Hakpada where at any time you could decide, I'm in the mood to bake challahs. Right? I'm going to start a sourdough now. All of a sudden you're going to start kneading dough. And that can happen in the morning, can happen in the afternoon, can happen at night, can happen any time. You may only actually bake challah once every 6 months, but it could happen at any time. That's hakpada, on the one hand. Ubein, kishik pida lahasir hu rakles man kotsuv, dad's manu uvade lo tisalkenu. As opposed to something that you may remove more frequently than you bake challah, but you'll only remove it at a set point in time, and you will not remove it before that set point in time. It's not about frequency. It's about what's happening before that hakpada, before that time that you want to remove it. According to, if you're talking about a ring that's on your finger, so before the time comes to remove it, at any time could be that time. Whereas, when you're dealing with the Taba'as Beis HaRechem, the way Rav Moshe interprets the Zichron Yosef, when it's not time to remove it, you better not remove it, because it's going to be dangerous. So you dafka wouldn't remove it until that time. Ve'in chilikim zmanu rachok o karov, not about how long, dekim du zman yadua l'kpeda, ein lach shiva ato makpedes. There is a time that you will be makpid, and now is not that time, and therefore now it's not makpid. V'zeu tam nachon v'lo nitan l'shirin. He says, and that, says Rav Moshe, that gentleman, that's a svara. That makes sense. V'zeu kavanoso l'niyastaiti, and that's what the Zichron Yosef means. And then he says, v'afamein kavanoso kei mikol makom v'tam nachon. And if you don't buy it as pshat in the Zichron Yosef, just understand that it's right. Whether the Zichron Yosef believes it or not, okay. But I don't, you know, Rav Moshe believes. Right, says Rav Moshe. Is it a Zichron Yosef? I don't know, but it's an Igros Moshe. V'im came, gam belom bezmanit, a temporary filling. Since there is a time to remove it, and until that time you would never want to remove it, that's not called that you're makbid. So kneading dough can be done whenever, but giving birth has a set time, and therefore any time that it's not the set time is considered a makbid. And he says that's what temporary filling, since they can't be taken out until the designated time, so it's called in a makbid. Ramosha then says that there is another reason to be makil, and that is that the temporary filling is only going to be replaced by a permanent filling. So even though you go in and the dentist puts in a temporary filling because he still, you know, has to, you know, do a root canal or whatever, you know, whatever he needs to do to the tooth before he puts in a permanent filling. But once that temporary filling is removed, that space, that cavity, is only going to be refilled with a permanent filling. And the issue of makbid is whether you would ever want to expose the part that's underneath. That's a chiddush. Ramesh says, the issue of makbid is not about the item that is chotzit. It's about the part of your body that is covered by the chatzitza. Do you ever want that part of the body to be exposed? So when it comes to a temporary filling, if you were looking at the item that's chotzitz, of course you're going to want to get rid of the temporary filling. So you would think that's called makbid. Says Ramosha, no, we don't look at the filling. We look at what part of the body it's covering. The part of the body that it's covering is a cavity within your tooth. That cavity you always want to be filled in with something. And therefore that's called eino makbid. Zichron Yosef himself brings four rayas that there's a distinction between that which can come out at any time and that which can only come out much later. Raya number one is Shulchan Aruch here in Siv Vav. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Seir shekenegad alev shabizakan hanidbak zebizeh machnezeh chotit. Shabrosh shabbeis hashachi eni chotit. Here it is. Uvishabba also makom. The hair in also makom. Be'ish eno chotit. For a man it's not a chotit, it's part of his body. He doesn't mind having hair, but also makom. Ubi'isha, but when it comes to a woman, v'nesua chotit b'pnuya eno chotit. For a married woman, the Seir Beis Ha'erva is a chatzitza, because the assumption is that a married woman doesn't want to have Seir Beis Ha'erva. Whereas for a penuya, it's not a chatzitza, because a penuya doesn't care, doesn't mind having Seir Beis Ha'erva. So a distinction between a single girl and a married girl with regard to the Seir Osa Makom, that's nidbak. Now, because only a married girl is makbid. Now, clearly, though, or doesn't, you know, so... Meaning, whether it's that she doesn't want to have Seir Beis Ha'erva b'chlal, or that she just doesn't want the Seir Beis Ha'erva to be tangled in any way. But clearly, though, the single girl hopes to get married one day. Right? She hopes to be to be makbid one day. So I thought the rabbi says, if you're ever makbid, then it's called that you're always makbid. So how come the single girl is called that it's in a makbid? It's not if you're ever going to be makbid. It's not about whether you're ever going to be makbid. It's about whether in Basher Husham is it shaykh to be makbid. And Basher he sham, there's nothing. There's no akbada. Another raya he has, Sif Yudzai, says that a painter, right? We alluded to this yesterday, I think. Right, Sif Yudzai, Tzaba Shetobos HaNosh HaPnei V'Yedei and V'Sar Rosh HaNeinu Chotzeitz V'chein Mishu Tzaba V'Yadov Tzavuos Einu Chotzeitz. Now if a person is a painter and his hands have paint on them, it's not a chatzitza. Is it not possible for a person to change professions at some point in his life? Maybe the painting business isn't working out for him. And he's going to discover that he can make more money selling things on Amazon. So then he's going to be makbid about the paint on his fingers. Gets in the way of the keyboard, whatever, you know, I don't know. Or I don't know, you ever been to the wedding of a painter or a child of a painter? I would imagine at their kid's wedding, they remove the paint from their fingers, right? Their wife would yell at them if they keep it, you know? They would probably remove whatever paint is on their fingers. There are times in their lives that they're makbid. So says Zichron Yosef, yeah, I'm sure Shabbos and Yom Tov, they also take it off. But that's not called makbid. Because Basher Husham, there's no reason to take it off, and there's nothing that's going to happen now that will make them take it off. Third raya, he says, the Gemara Pesach and Daf Mem Vav tells us that if you have chametz that gets caught in the cracks of a kneading bowl, it's not a chatzitza. And if that kneading bowl becomes tameh, you need to tovel it. So the chametz that's caught in the cracks, it's filling in the cracks, is just part of the bowl, so it's not a chatzitza. But on Pesach, it becomes a chatzitza. Because on Pesach, it would bother you that there's chametz in the cracks of the bowl, so it becomes a chatzitza. if it ever is something that you're makbid about, shouldn't it be a chatzitza year round? Again, according to the right, if it's ever something that you're ever makbid about, it should always be a chatzitza. Elamai, you wouldn't be makbid about it until Pesach. And therefore, it's not called makbid b'Asher Rishon. And this final right, the Gemara in Yevamsa in Ches assumes that the mother is not a chatzitza for an ubar because the ubar is eno makbid. But he'll certainly be makbid once he's ready to be born. Right? He's the baby, the inside the mom doesn't mind mom being around him because that's how he flourishes. But once it's time to come out, he's going to be interested in coming out. He's not going to want mom to be around him. So there's going to come a time. Yeah, there's going to come a time, but right now is not that time. So that's the svara of the Zichron Yosef, the way Moshe understands the svara. Is that it's not even about how much time, it's not about Zaman Ruba. Now, there are poskim that define makbid of the filling by how much time you would leave it there, and that seems to be how the Pesach Shuvah and Sukkot Nalav understands the Zichron Yosef, but Rav Moshe says that either that understanding is incorrect, or he just argues on the Zichron Yosef. Take your pick, but either way, Rav Moshe says that's incorrect. It's not about how much time, it can't be. We have no remez in Chazal to what that time period would even look like, what it would even be. It's about whether it's shaykh right now or not. Whether it's shaykh to have such akbada right now. Yeah.
I just wonder with the chametz, you're only makbid because of halacha and halacha din. Would that be akbada? Didn't we say earlier?
Yeah, because it's not this halacha, it's a different halacha. Meaning, you're being makbid about hilchos chametz, and therefore in hilchos tumen tahara.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Does the Zichron Yosef himself say that point about maybe perhaps being makbid on paint for a painter on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So it's possible that in the same week, if a woman's night falls out on Friday night, she would have to be makbid on the paint.
So Zichron Yosef brings that as a raya, Shabbos and Yom Tov, so you see that it can't be about length of time. The Ramesh must be right. Like, yeah, I hear. Kind of look back at the Zichron Yosef. Yeah.
So should you say according to the motion that Friday
night, for example, where
it's impossible for a woman to
kneel down
because
it's Asr HaShabbos,
so now you have a fixed amount of time
that
she's not going to do it.
Well, it's not going to be Shaykh.
Right, so now maybe she'd be.
She, that she could wear her ring on Friday night.
She was Friday night.
Interesting. And you can say, like Rav Moshe, that whenever it's not Shaykh. That's an interesting question. I don't know. Yeah, interesting point. Okay. The Chasam Sofer in the Tshuva in Simchat Kosadi Beis has a different reason to allow the ring. He says makbid means that a woman wants it off because she doesn't want it to get dirty or ruined. But the only reason she would remove the ring from the Beis HaRechem is that it's in the way, meaning it's taking up space that's otherwise needed. And he says that's not a chatzitza. Chasam Sofer writes. He says Risi Benod Bihuda. He says the fact that a woman has to remove the ring during the bedikos of Shiva Nikim, that's a hakpada, that's just like removing the ring. Or like a ring that a man wears and he needs to, and has an evan on it and he needs to remove it when he does malacha. He said, but to remove a ring for childbirth, meaning a ring inside of her rechem, I don't know the fact that she would remove it for childbirth means that that's called makbid and that's chatzitza. She'ein osa ha'asara mitam akpada, lo alat ha'ba'as, v'lo alichluch kufa. It's not akpada that she's nervous about the ring, nor that she's nervous about her body getting dirty or anything like that. Ella lepanos makom levlad. It's just to clear out space for the baby to be able to come out. Ve'efsha sh'me'atzmo nofel, he says, I'll bring you a raya. That a man's ring that doesn't have an oven is not a chatzitza. And there's what we saw yesterday in the Chasam Sofer. but he's going to remove it to take lulav. He's going to remove it to put on tefillin. That's just because it's in the way. When you just remove it because it's in the way, but you're not worried about the ring, nor are you worried about the skin under the ring. It's just in the way. That's not called hakavata. That's a much bigger chiddush than what Rav Moshe was saying. You know, Rav Moshe's svara about the filling was that hakpada by chatzitza is whether you're makbid about this part of the body being covered, and not about the chatzitza itself. What the Chassam Sofer is saying is that no, it could be that hakpada is about the davar chotzeitz itself, but it's never about just clearing space. Whenever it's just clearing space, that's not called hakpada. Okay. Now, there may be other reasons to be makel by a ring, the ring and the rechem, and this is very relevant, as we pointed out, to the nuva ring. Right? When you have the nuva ring, it's something that goes inside the vaginal canal, and, you know, shaila is whether you're allowed to do have siktara with it in there, whether you're allowed to do batika with it in there, whether you're allowed to go to the mikveh with it in there, but for our purposes, we're talking about going to the mikveh with the nuva ring in. So in the Yehuda Madur Kama Yerdeus and the son of David, he says that the ring is placed, the Tabas Besarachim was in a balua part of the body, so it's not chatzitza at all. So we're going to have that discussion. Where do you draw the line, and how do we know when is the nuva ring in Beis HaStarim, or is it in Amakom Balua? In the Tshuva Siach Nachum, Rabinovich, Yerdeus and the son of Chalav, says that a nuva ring, he has a tshuva about nuva ring in particular, and he says it's not a problem at all, because he says, Afsha Tabas nuva ring. Even though it's touching the vaginal walls, it's not attached to the vaginal walls. And the whole area is full of moisture. And the ring is moist also, and it's not attached to anything. It should be viewed as if it's floating on the bodily fluids in that area. Just like we have this concept from the Mordechai, that something that's moist is not a chatzitza. He says, I know that the vaginal canal is not balua, it's the base of starim, and needs to be roi l'bias mayim. If there's a connectivity of moisture from the mikveh water to whatever is already moist, then that's not called a chatzitza. And the nuva ring is fully surrounded by moisture, and therefore that connects to the mikveh water would not be a chatzitza. It's not really attached to anything, it's sort of floating in the fluids of that part of the body. I remember when I was first asked about a nuva ring, so I was told that Rabbi Sablovsky and Rabbi Willig said, L'chachili, you need to remove it for tevila. Bidyavet, if she was ready, Toveles, with it, the Tvila, it's also a Tvila, the Tvila is kosher, but L'chachili, you should remove it for Tvila, which tells you what? That it's not Makbid, right? Meaning, as if it is considered Makbid, or that it's not Chotzeitz, really, right? If it is considered Chotzeitz and or Makbid, then it's even Bidyavet, it's not a good Tvila. Because it's even if it's only a chatzitza midrabanan, you have to be tovel again. So they hold that really it is okay, but since you're relying on kula, it's better not to rely on kulas. But Rav Rabinovich, Zichron Levracha, was totally make leaving the chachila. So I remember I printed out the tshuva and I brought it to Rav Shachter to ask him what he thought. He read the tshuva, he said, I agree with Rav Rabinovich, I don't think you even have to remove it b'chla, for the tzvila. The other big tshuva about nuva rings was written by Rabbi Oldham. I think he has in both volume 2 and 3 of Minchas Chayim, he has tshuvas about nuva rings. I think he also comes to the same basic conclusion that it's not really a chatzitza.
It's similar to the Mishnah Mikvah, with Malach Tefiyah. If she's Kabbalah, it's an Al-Kabbalah Tefillah, and the
that it's considered baluah. He doesn't think it's considered. It's hard to say because it actually moves around a lot. So it may at some points be baluah and at other times not be. Because it's, meaning that's part of the, part of why it works is because it gets out of the way. Meaning if a woman has tashmish with her husband, so it just sort of moves up the canal to the point that's beyond makam shashan ushtash. But it doesn't stay. So it's hard to say that it's always in makam baluah. Yeah. With an nuva ring, yeah. If it's no big deal to take it out and put it right back in for, you know, 10 minutes. So you might as well, but I don't think you have to. It could be also that Tzeinu Makbid, because the only reason she takes it out is because it stops accomplishing anything, but not because she needs it out. Meaning it's not at all, from what women say, it's not really uncomfortable. They don't even realize that it's there. So it's not something that, like, she wants to remove dafka. It's just she has no need for it anymore. So she takes it out. So one could argue whether that's called Makbid at all. Now, there are other chilukim to be made between different types of chatzitzos. So we made chilukim between different definitions of makbid, different levels of makbid. There are other chilukim to be made in the world of chatzitzos. Tosfos in Nida Daf Samach Vav and Beis asks on the comparison between belila and tevila. And Tosfos says in Tomar, Amaylo bin Abiyus Maim l'chachila bebeis storm kama belila ukriya b'chalitza b'bikurim. Meaning everywhere else we say, kol ra'ayla bila b'bila makadis, but you're supposed to at least do it l'chachila. You're supposed to do the Belila. You're supposed to do the Mikra Bikurim L'Chadchil, even though it's not Ma'akev. But, an Ilayim is part because he's not Royal the Mikra Bikurim, but he's supposed to do it L'Chadchil. So if we require Belila L'Chadchil, we should also require B'yes Ma'ayim, B'yes Estar L'Chadchil. That's also Kasha. Sidrei Tara points out that question is only L'Shita Sab, that Royal B'yes Ma'ayim is a Din D'Araisa. But if you hold that Royal B'yes Ma'ayim is only a Din D'Rabbanan, the Chum were all in the sake, and that it should be Royal B'yes Ma'ayim, they didn't require B'yes Ma'ayim B'po. But let's assume it's a D'Oraisa. It's a good Sidri Tara Sa'ara, well taken. But that's Tosfos Kasha, that why don't you require it L'Chadchila? And Tosfos has a fundamental tenet. V'yesh lomer de'ein svara gabi tvila shelo k'pida Torah ela sheyitaher ha'adam ve'ein lomer de l'chadchila l'bay d'kimi d'b'diyavet Torah l'chadchila nami l'bay v'talo tvila. Aval bilo, mikro bikurim, v'chalitza, mitzvos ninu. Hilkoch, l'chadchil, l'yavit. He doesn't say it in such brisker terminology, right? But he's saying there's a difference between a mitzvah and a matir. A mitzvah, yavit din of l'chadchila. A matir is either matir or it's not matir. So there's no din of l'chadchila mit yavit when you're dealing with a matir. If it's matir, good, it worked. And if it's not matir, then it didn't work. There's no a matir l'chadchila and a matir b'diavad. So that's Tosfos' idea. Now, the analysis of Tosfos is as follows. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Sekhov Tes, counts tevila as a mitzvah. So is it so pashut? Meaning that you can't have a l'chadchila by tevila? The Rambam counts tevila as a mitzvah. But l'chadchila is not a problem because it's not a standard type of mitzvah. It's a situational mitzvah. Meaning there's no chiyuv for a tamei person to become tahar. It's that if you want to become Torah, then you're obligated to be Tova. So it could be that in such a type of mitzvah, you don't have a l'chadchila. The second ha'ara is that the Avnei Nezer, in Or HaChaim Sim Tov Chaf Aleph Oz Dalit, says that Tosfos' answer only works if you hold tevila b'zman a lav mitzvah. But if you hold tevila b'zman a mitzvah, then it's a mitzvah. So you need another answer to Tosfos' question. Right? Why don't you have a l'chadchila that you need b'zman? The Tosfos Menachos and Daf Yud Ches answers differently. Tosfos Menachos says that the din beis hastarim of not requiring b'yas mayim is derived from besaro, which implies that only exposed flesh. So it's ki'ilu mefurish in the pasuk that only exposed parts need to be washed. Right, we already went through this when we started introducing Simukot Sadichas. But then Rav Moshe has this whopper of a chiddush, and people use this a lot. I just had the shaila last week, where there are some women that can't get water in their ears. For whatever reason, they have different issues with their ears and the eardrums or whatever, and their balance or something, and they can't get water in their ears. So what do you do? How can a woman go to the mikveh if no water can go to her ears? So Moshe writes in Yerdei Chelek Aleph Shin Tzadiches, "V'lachin anachon la'anias daiti dovor chadash," meaning he acknowledges right at the outset what I'm about to tell you is a chiddush. "V'yesh shnei minei chatzitzos." Echad the davar chutzit davar kalaguf v'lavi osi chalik haguf roi klal sheyavolav mayim v'mashu latam. You have something that's attached to the body, and therefore that part of the body cannot have water hit it. V'sheini the kisa b'davar acher es haguf kama achas ba'adam v'kaptza yadu chadome shadma atzma ein bo shum chisar l'bias mayim. That there's something blocking the passage of the water to the body, but nothing is stuck to the body. Meaning, Rav Moshe understands that if, let's say, you have a piece of chewing gum stuck on your hand, that's a different kind of chatzitza than if you have someone else's hand holding your hand. Because someone else's hand isn't really stuck to your hand unless it's crazy glued. Right? Someone else's hand isn't really stuck to your hand. It's just blocking your hand. But there's nothing There's nothing. There's no like, you know, there's no malacha on Shabbos of tofer, you know, by having so, but to have something else stuck on you, right? That's a chatzitza. He says these are the two types of chatzitza. He says tarvai rab chatzitza shal kol barim chotzim b'mayim me'aguf, avul hu rak b'makom agolish b'in b'yas mayim mamish. But they're only both chatzitzas like on your hand. The base of stardom, shein sarkli b'yasmayim, el shein royu b'yasmayim. But in the base of stardom, you don't need b'yasmayim. I mean, both of those things will block b'yasmayim. So where you need b'yasmayim, you have a problem. But in the base of stardom, where you don't actually need b'yasmayim, you only need royu b'yasmayim. So when it's, something is blocking it, it's still called royu b'yasmayim. It's just that there's something blocking it. When there's something stuck to it, so it's not even royu b'yasmayim. You know, as in its essence, it's not royu b'yasmayim. When there's something blocking it, it's essentially royal b'yasmayim. No water will actually hit it, but when you don't need water to actually hit it, you're fine. And therefore, Rav Moshe explains, that's why she can close her mouth. Because that's a type 2 chatzitza, which is no problem, the base of starting. And Rav Moshe says the same is true for cotton in the ear. It's unlike the etzem or basar ben ha-shinayim, because etzem or basar ben ha-shinayim havu kinidbakim sham, mach vashen misubachim b'makom b'dachuk. He said, when you're in a tight space and something is stuck in there, that's real chatzitza. So it's real chatzitza, it's not going to help you. But if you have something that's just blocking, that's just in place but blocking, then that's not considered real chatzitza. That would mean, according to that svara, fillings should still be a chatzitza, right? Based on that criteria alone, a filling should be a chatzitza. Elamai, it's a miyat sheino makbid, right? But as far as, is it a dover achotzeitz? According to Rav Moshe, yes. Rav Moshe will then tell you, okay, but it's a miyat sheino makbid. Right, so it's not going to be a problem, but it's a chatzitza, it's just not a problematic chatzitza. It's interesting, Chachm Sadam in Hilchos Nidan, Klal Kuf Yates Osir Ches, says that false teeth aren't chotzeitz, but he says fillings are chotzeitz. He thinks fillings are chatzitza, which would mean anybody who's ever had a cavity will be Asura Labayla forever. So, when you're in Shiduchim, dental hygiene should be at the top of your list of questions to ask in Shiduchim, according to the Chachm Sadam. So, I mentioned Yerodei Chalgalsim Tzad Zayin Ozvav says that even the Chachm Sadam would agree that our fillings are not a Chatzitza. He was talking about fillings that only that their only function was to prevent further decay, but they weren't pleasant to chew with, and people would prefer eating without the filling. The filling was sort of in the way. The way our dentist, if you have a reasonably skilled dentist, the way your dentist puts in fillings is it makes your tooth feel whole again, complete again, right? And it makes it more pleasant to eat with. So that would for sure be a miyachin amakbid and would not be a problem. So based on this idea, Rav Moshe writes, Ultam zen nira, dahamishkafayim shenasu mechadash. The brand new types of glasses, maybe you heard of them, shekorin contact, shemasima mitoch lahaf apayim, that they put them in the eyeballs, you know, in the eyelids, umakifnas kol ha'ayin, and they surround the whole eye, shu makom beis hastarim, which is a beis hastarim, shegamkin kimin shelo nisdabku sham bedevek. They're not attached to your eye. They can move around, you could slide them up and down, there's nothing sticking them to your eye. Sheinam chatzitza, they're blocking your eye. But it's not a chatzitza. V'mshacha la'asirim, and if she forgot to remove them, ain't tzricha tefila acheres. V'rak mechadchila, even she yicholah la'asirim bi'atzma, tzricha la'asirim mishum me'yos tov. Mechadchila, might as well. That's what Rav Moshe writes. Rav Zilberman told me, when I taught Nida 3 years ago, you know Rav Zilberman? You should know Rav Zilberman. He's a good person to know. Big Talmud Chacham in our yeshiva. So Rav Zilberman, I don't know if you realize, he's somewhat of an unsung Jewish hero. Gayrus in America was like an absolute disaster, like 20 years ago. Like every rabbi in his own community was just doing Gayrus whenever anyone asked for it. And, you know, like when his shul president, who was the major supporter of the shul, would come over to the rabbi and would say, my son fell in love with a non-Jewish girl at college, and I'm not going to suffer the embarrassment of my son intermarrying, so you need to convert her. And the rabbi would say, are they from? And he would say, of course not. He met a non-Jewish girl at college. Are they planning on being from? No. They're going to celebrate Christmas. You need to convert her. And the rabbi was saying, if I don't, you can find yourself a new job because I support the shul and you're going to be, right? And conversions like that were happening all across the country. Maybe that's a little bit strong, but like it was, you know, things like that. And Rav Zilberman came up together with some others of this idea of making uniformity in the standards of Galus. So the standards of the Basin of America that now that are like, you have to have this, the Basin Legiur is like a more, you're not converted by your own rabbi. Your own rabbi is your sponsoring rabbi and he'll support you and whatever. But you go to a Basin that will, I just had a crazy Gairus meeting the other night, but not from recording. Zilberman is very involved in Gairus in the RCA, Gairus and Gittin, he's very involved in. So he said that they did a Gairus where a woman traveled 600 miles to convert, to go to the Beis Din, and then she got home, all the way back home, 600 miles away, and she realized that she left her contacts in during the tefillah. Then what do you say? I would have said, 600 miles, you know, like, okay, you know, Ramesh says it's fine, it's okay. So Zilberman thought, together with the Beis Din, that, look, maybe for Tilas Nida, she's already been with her husband, and what was already, there's no way you're really going to correct it or whatever. This is Gaius. I mean, it's not like a tevila that happens every month, you know? Like, this is, it's like one tevila that's going to make her, it's going to make her a Jew. So they cordially invited her back, 600 miles, and she was stumbled again.
No bracha, right?
No bracha, so no.
Single knot on the hair would not be something that's
double,
and it would not. It might be a problem,
but
even if it's not
real, even if it's not mine. So no, but that's fine. Kalu, that's not based on starim. The Moshe only works for based on starim because anytime you need bias mine, you need bias mine.
Right, and if it's not right, you need bias mine, and you don't have a single knot.
Yeah, single knot would be a problem. One knot is a problem if you're makbid.
If you're not, so Rav Moshe's thing is only a problem if you're makbid.
Look, there are two conversations that have to be had about every chatzitza. First is it a davar chotzitz b'chlal? And then you can talk about, is it rov, is it miyud, is it makbid, is it ain't a makbid? So Rav Moshe's idea is that this is not, something that blocks is not a davar chotzitz. Practically, there's not going to be bias mayim, but it's not a davar chotzitz. So in parts of the body where you don't need a bias mayim, it won't be a problem. And it doesn't matter whether you're makbid or not. It's irrelevant whether you're makbid or not.
Why is Kansei again a problem?
What?
Why does she, if she holds her hand closed while she's developed, why is that a problem?
Because that's ungodly, and water's not getting there.
But she's not makbid on her hand. Her hand is there. She's not makbid on her hand.
No, there are times that you don't want your hand clenched. Right? Like when you're smacking someone. Right? Or other times also. I don't know why that came to mind. But there are times when you don't want your hand clenched. So that it is called makbid. And that time could be any time. It could be like right now, you know. And just to point out, the Badei Shulchan and the Biurim on page 9 Ches rejects Rav Moshe. He says, L'chor kasha, ma bing moch zeh le'etzem ha-nidbak ben shina'a, t'chashu ken roi li'as mayim, ha-shen nidbak sham. He says, I don't say, le'etzem ben shina'a is also not attached. So Rav Moshe writes, l'var ha-chilik, you know, that it is attached. He says, l'om mati al kavanosa, I don't know what he's talking about. It's not attached. It's in between the teeth. I don't know why you would call that attached. Ulin in time shall chachmasad b'siyata b'psul dekritzas v'sayim dum v'nei she'in tochus shalotar roi l'bi asmayim hinei domo l'zai kosem me'iri dad b'sin hasem k'atzmayinah b'yoser kosem me'iri atam v'nei she'atzimo b'yoser mona'as she'in tochus shalayim roi l'bi asmayim. Okay, then he gets into the me'iri and closing your eyes very tightly. We don't get into that right now. But that's the basic. So at the end of the day, we're always makel on permanent fillings. We're even makel on temporary fillings. But if there's something in the mouth that's very uncomfortable, that's only temporary, and that the dentist is going to have to move, let's say there's a bunch of extra cement the dentist forgot to scrape off. So that's, even Rav Moshe would have a problem with that, because it's davuk. Or if, let's say, sometimes they don't put in a temporary filling, they put in a temporary crown. Temporary crown is just a piece of metal that they stick over the tooth to protect it before they do a root canal or something. Or before they put a crown, you know, a permanent crown on it after the root canal. So the tooth becomes brittle once it's dead, once they do the root canal. So, but I've had a lot of dental work done in my life. So a temporary crown is very uncomfortable. It doesn't feel like a tooth. L'chori, you run into the Chacham Sofer's problem. It's also not really super necessary. It's an extra safety precaution, but it's not super necessary. So a woman should be aware of what kind of dental work she's getting done when, you know, to at least know to ask the questions. Okay, we'll stop there. Sunday, I'm not saying Shir is going to be a Shasathon. And Monday, regular time, Ezra Hashem. And everyone's cordially invited to come learn on Sunday also. Huh?